Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Peter Saxon chatting with radio futurologist and podcast net editor James Cridland about what just happened at Radio Days Asia last week. Welcome, James.
Greetings, it's good to be on.
Your overview of the event, please. What came out of it that was exciting?
I very much enjoyed, from a personal level, because I write for podnews.net every single day, I very much enjoyed the podcasting stuff in there. Very interesting hearing about how podcasting works in China, which is a very different experience, of course, to how we experience podcasting. But also just, you know, the views across the Asian countries who were speaking. I also really enjoyed Christian O'Connell, who I thought was, you know, as ever, was excellent. And it's, you know, it's always nice to, it's always nice as a fellow Brit to hear that he's been teaching you Australians a thing or two.
Certainly in Melbourne he has, where he dominates the FM market.
Indeed.
So tell me about podcasting in China. How is that different to the rest of Asia and the rest of the world?
Yeah, so Anita Zhu spoke. She is one of the organisers of PodFest China. And, yeah, I mean, podcasting in China, I mean, obviously, firstly, they don't have access to all of the shows that we would enjoy because of the different landscape in China. But one of the narratives over the last couple of years has been that podcasting in China is flourishing, and there's a lot of paid for podcasts in China. So you can go on and, you know, pay to be educated at through podcasting. And that's kind of may or may not be the case. It seems that actually there's a breakdown in communication between what we call a podcast and what those in China call a podcast. But certainly, you know, there are very large apps in China like Himalaya, who have a completely different list of shows in their apps and a completely different way of monetizing them as well. So, you know, just very interesting hearing that in comparison to, you know, the style that we're used to here in Australia, which is very much Spotify and Apple Podcasts and earning money through advertising.
What about a summary of your own for the listeners here who haven't been able to log into Radio Days Asia? Can you give us a summary of your own presentation?
Yeah, I mean, I was basically so the idea of the afternoon that was focusing on podcasting, the idea was all around helping the Asian audience through, firstly, what podcasting is, and then secondly, what you know, how to make money out of it, and what's going on in Asia. So I was very much having a look at a global, you know, the global landscape of podcasting, and seeing, you know, the typical numbers, the typical growth that we've been seeing across the world, and pointing out that podcasting really is a global thing. You know, places like Spain, Ireland, Norway are doing tremendously well in terms of podcast consumption. The UK is actually quite low. Australia is, you know, relatively high, which is nice, as is the US. And so really focusing on the benefits of that and the underlining data, which is that across the world, we're listening to less music, we're listening to more spoken word, and particularly younger audiences are listening to more spoken word. So over the last 6 years, the amount of spoken word listening has actually gone up quite substantially, gone up 83% in terms of total hours. So there's a real difference there, I think, in terms of, you know, how people are consuming media and what that means frankly, for those of us working in radio as well. You know, the great days of 10 great songs in a row or just playing the hits may not be the best strategy if you want to attract younger audiences.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tell us about Clubhouse. Is this the new shiny toy in the cubby house, as it were? And what's its potential to affect radio?
So Clubhouse is interesting. If you've not heard of Clubhouse or Twitter Spaces, which is another version of it, it's a way of essentially having a chat room, a bit like those premium chat lines that we used to have about 15 or 20 years ago, where you can go on and talk about stuff, and you are actually talking, not typing, which is always a nice thing. I say that Clubhouse is basically like all of those dreadful people on LinkedIn. If you gave them all a microphone, then that's essentially what it sounds like, which may be a little bit cruel. But certainly, you know, it's a good place to go if you want to hear some large, you know, entrepreneurs talking about what makes them successful. And if you want to go and, you know, share tips on running businesses, that appears to be what Clubhouse is all about. Some people say it might be a competitor to Talkback Radio. I'm not so sure about that, because I think that it doesn't have any of the production tools for you to actually make a good audio experience. But on the other side, you know, it's certainly more interesting and engaging than mindlessly scrolling through your Facebook or your Twitter. So I suppose you've got that kind of side to it. And of course, for every minute that somebody is listening to Clubhouse, they're not listening to radio. So there is, you know, certainly an issue there. But it's still very early days. It's still very, very small. My suspicion is that Twitter Spaces, which is an equivalent, will probably win overall, if only because it's got the amount of people using it. And, you know, it's already got, you know, obviously the idea of a verified user and all of that. So, you know, my suspicion is that that will work better. But it's certainly one to watch if you are, you know, working in particularly in spoken word radio.
Now, the European Broadcast Union's Ezra Eamon wrote about the great unbundling of radio recently, about how various program elements have taken over some of radio's platforms. Spotify, for example, and similar streaming services have eaten away at radio's credentials in music. Podcasts have taken over the specialist programs, and now Clubhouse and others are making a dent in the interview aspect of live radio. How do you see the future in all of this? Will it end up like broadcast television, where Netflix has taken away the movies and the TV shows, and broadcast TV's essentially been left with sport and anything, reality shows, anything that gives a result today?
I look at this through the filter of the definition of what radio is. And a lot of people have a definition of radio that starts with an FM or an AM transmitter or a DAB Plus transmitter. And I'm not sure that that is what the definition of radio is. But if we continue to believe that radio is just FM or AM, then we will die. It's you know, that's basically how the world is going. My definition of radio is a little bit different. My definition of radio is a human connection with a shared experience. And the reason why that is important is that should enable us to understand what the benefit is in terms of radio, what our unique selling point is. Our unique selling point used to be 25 years ago when I was doing afternoon drive. Our unique selling point was doing traffic reports, playing new music, telling people what was going on with the big stars and stuff like that. Now you have a look at what we've got access to. New music is available for anybody on Spotify, so there's no point in that. traffic news is available to anybody in a much better format by using something like Waze or Google Maps or that sort of thing. So there's really no point to that in terms of radio. So we come back to the fundamental focus of radio being a shared experience with a human connection. And when you have a look at what happened in lockdown in Melbourne last year, what you saw very clearly on the GFK numbers was that people turned to spoken word radio. People turned to human beings talking to you. The music intensive radio stations all fell back. The speech stations all had a good and powerful increase. And that was very different when you looked at, for example, Brisbane, which didn't have a lockdown. There was no change there in terms of how audiences moved. So it's very clear that audiences like that human connection and that shared experience. And that's the thing. If I was programming a radio station, thank heavens I'm not, but if but if I was, that's the thing that I would focus on, is making sure that people know that they're part of a community, making sure that people that the programming on your radio station reflects what the unique selling point of radio is, which is that human connection and that shared experience.
James, as always, it's been a pleasure and illuminating and exciting speaking to you, and I look forward to the next time. Thank you very much.
Indeed, and me likewise. Thank you so much, Peter.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.